it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you, starting off a brand new week. And tonight we get Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. I think everybody is really looking forward to this one. OKC on the road taking on the Golden State Warriors. It's a great week for NBA basketball. There's some rather lackluster first-round matchups in the NBA playoffs. Second round, it picks up quite a bit. Conference finals time, we're set to go. Because at the beginning of the season, you could almost this year specifically peg five or six teams that you expected to play in the NBA conference finals. And I think we got four out of those five. You know, it was kind of up in the air in the East. Could it be Miami? Could it be Toronto? Everybody knew Cleveland was going to be there. In the Western Conference, we had three teams. We knew it would be Golden State, OKC, or San Antonio. So now we're here. Really looking forward to this matchup tonight. We're going to talk about this in depth today on the show. We're going to preview both the West and the East. And also on the show today, we're going to talk a lot of local sports as well. Over the weekend, and we got you set up for this on Friday, we had the Emory Spartan baseball team, the Carbon Dino baseball squad, and the Lady Dino softball team all in action state tournament play. The season's over for the Emory Spartan baseball team. They finished 2-2. We'll talk about how their season came to a close. But, wow, let me just say, tip your hat to the Emory Spartan baseball team. I'm proud of that squad. That's a team that barely sneaks into the state tournament. They knock off a 1 seed. They knock off a 3 seed. They're rolling. They give North Sevier the runner-up of the 2A state tournament. They give them all they can handle in a quarterfinal matchup. And then they give Grand all they can handle in a one-loss bracket matchup. I thought Emory's baseball team played stellar. We're going to catch up with the coach, Steve Gordon, a little bit later on in the week. Today, though, we will focus on the Carbon Lady Dino softball team. We're going to be joined by Coach Wade Williams. He'll join us over the phone and talk about the Lady Dinos. They are 1-1, so it's an elimination game from here on out for this team. They lost to Stansbury. They battled back, and they eliminated Morgan in a big way. And then the Carbon Dino baseball team. My goodness. 14-inning thrilling victory over Park City in the opening round. 3-2, Dallin Maurer, senior, knocks a solo home run in the top of the 14th inning. And Carbon goes on to get the victory. 14 frames. They essentially played three games over the weekend. Three. And then they come back and they knock off Cedar. So the Dinos are in the quarterfinals. They'll go up against the defending state champions in Pineview. But Carbon already taking care of last year's runner-up in Cedar. Excellent weekend for the Dinos. It doesn't get any better than that. 14-inning 3-2 win, and then the Dinos battle back, and they knock off Cedar 4-3. So we'll go over that in depth coming up here in just a minute. Also, we'll give you the NASCAR update. Matt Kenseth, he has his luck turn around yesterday here on KOAL, so we'll get into the NASCAR update. That's coming up in just a bit as well. As I said, tonight, the NBA Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, 7 p.m. tip-off, Oklahoma City on the road to take on Golden State. Major League Baseball, of course, there's a full slate. Pretty much is from here on out. We have one game going on right now, Cincinnati at Cleveland. We'll get you a scoreboard update there. Still to come tonight, 5 o'clock games, Boston at Kansas City, Miami at Philly. The Pirates will play host to the Braves. We get Tampa Bay on the road against Toronto. The Blue Jays were in the news over the weekend. Jose Bautista got his block knocked off. If we have time, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Minnesota at Detroit. 7 o'clock hour tonight, the Yankees on the road taking on the Diamondbacks in interleague action. Two nightcap games tonight, Texas at Oakland, and the Angels at the Dodgers. There's another interleague matchup for you. Hockey, yes, postseason, still moving full steam ahead, the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've made it to the Eastern and the Western Conference Finals. Tonight we get Game 2, Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh. The Lightning lead this series 1-0. Tomorrow we'll get San Jose at St. Louis. The Blues right now leading that series 1-0. So we only got two sets left in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's everything that's happening in the national sports scene. As far as the storylines go and the headlines itself, Tim Lincecum has agreed to a deal with the Anaheim Angels. Former San Francisco Giant great. He's been out of baseball throughout the entire year. Finally finding a deal with the Angels. This is all according to ESPN. It was rumored yesterday, though, that he would be signing with the Angels. The deal is pending a physical. Lincecum spent 9 seasons with the Giants, has not pitched in the majors since last June. Yahoo Sports reported that the White Sox and Giants were two of the last teams to not make the cut as far as where Lincecum was going to go play. The Angels have a huge need for a starting pitcher right now. Garrett Richards was recently lost because of a torn ligament in his pitching elbow. Tyler Skaggs is recovering from Tommy John surgery. We've talked to him. He's with the Salt Lake Bees. C.J. Wilson is on the comeback trail from having bone spurs removed from his pitching elbow. And then Andrew Heaney is dealing with a forearm and elbow issue. So Lincecum will definitely fit right in with the Anaheim Angels. We're talking about a 2-time Cy Young winner. And now he's set to go. Going to make the jump from the NL to the AL. Denver Bronco fans, Mark Sanchez is out after a thumb injury. He has thumb surgery. He underwent successful surgery on that left thumb. He's expected to miss the beginning of the offseason training activities, which will begin on May 24th. Initially, he injured the thumb while working in the weight room this past Thursday. He went through surgery on Saturday. The team described the injury as a torn ligament in the thumb on his non-throwing hand. So, of course, with this injury, that means that Paxton Lynch, first-round draft pick, yeah, he's going to be taking the snaps while Sanchez is on the mend. Not a bad thing for Denver Bronco fans. It's Paxton Lynch's team at this point. It's Paxton Lynch's team. Nobody wants to see Mark Sanchez. I think Sanchez is capable with that defense, but it's Paxton Lynch's team. Some other news coming out of the NFL, defensive end Shaq Lawson, who was selected by the Bills with a 19th overall pick. He has to have shoulder surgery. Team made that announcement today. Lawson had insisted after the draft that he wouldn't need surgery, but the Bills said Monday that they would go ahead with the procedure on Tuesday. It's kind of preventive, as a preventive measure. Not a bad idea. Shaq Lawson tweeted out, "God has a plan for me. I'll be back better than ever." I think it's the right move. Make sure that Shaq Lawson is going to be 100% healthy. This kid is going to be a true talent in the NFL. Of course, you watched him play at Clemson. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And some news coming out of Tennessee. The Titans have waived quarterback Zach Mettenberger. This happened earlier today. This is shocking. He was a sixth-round pick out of LSU, but he started 10 games over 2 seasons. Now, his future in Tennessee was cloudy when the Titans went ahead and selected Marcus Mariota with the second overall pick last season, and they didn't trade the pick. Remember, Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles were going after it hard. They didn't trade the pick. And you wondered what would become of Mettenberger. There was a lot of smoke screens being thrown around the draft at that particular time. A lot of people thought that maybe Mettenberger was going to be the future for Tennessee. I think Mettenberger can play in the NFL. I think he's got tremendous accuracy. The problem is he's not very mobile. He completed like 60% of his passes. I think he can be a quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback. He's definitely a backup, and that's what shocks me about Tennessee waiving him. Something may come out about this. Because it's just odd that you waive a quarterback at this stage. I view Mettenberger the same way I viewed Ryan Mallett. Now, I know that Mallett didn't necessarily pan out in Houston. There's been some problems. But he was building a reputation with the Patriots, and the Patriots got something for him. They didn't just cut him. I think maybe the trade market diminished a little bit for Mettenberger when we got past the preseason. Because that's when the flaws really started to glare for Zach Mettenberger. That's a quick look of everything that's going on right now in the national sports scene. We're going to pause for just a minute. Again, quick local sports update coming up straight ahead. Plus, we'll be joined by Carbon Lady Dino softball coach Wade Williams. It's all coming up here on Drive Time Sports.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different 5-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Do your employees get frustrated waiting for their computers to load? Does it take forever to upload photo or video files to your website? Emory Telecom's Extreme Internet is a surefire way to increase your employees' happiness, as well as your customers. Emory Telecom has internet at just the right speeds for business with 3 employees or max speeds for larger businesses. Ethernet connections are available for businesses with multiple locations. Don't let your slow internet cause your workforce to become unproductive or unprofitable. Call for Extreme Internet from Emory Telecom today. 613-9605.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. After pulling back-to-back upsets in the opening two rounds of the 2A state tournament, the Emory High School baseball team's Cinderella run came to a close as they suffered back-to-back losses in the next two rounds. Battling tough with the 2A state runner-up North Sevier, Emory fell victim 10-5 after falling off pace late in the contest, giving up 6 runs over the final two frames. In this contest, Tell Gardner was charged with the loss on the hill for Emory, despite a brilliant effort early on. Emory trailed 4-0 in the middle of the contest, but tied the game in the fifth inning, scoring 2 runs in the fourth and 2 more in the fifth. After that, North Sevier took complete control and sent the Emory Spartans down into the one-loss bracket. And then on Friday, the season came to an end as Emory suffered a 6-3 loss to the Grand Red Devils. All in all, it was a successful season for the Spartans after barely sneaking into the postseason. With a play-in game victory over San Juan 6-5, Emory defeated South Sevier, a number 1 seed, and also Kanab, a number 3 seed. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll wrap up the baseball season with Coach Steve Gordon later this week on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. It was a highly successful weekend for the Carbon Dino baseball team as they won in both the first and second rounds of the 3A state tournament to move into the quarterfinals. Carbon won the first game in extra innings in a classic against Park City by a final score of 3-2. Carbon entered the contest the number 3 seed from Region 12, while Park City was the number 2 seed from Region 10. In the victory, Carbon accumulated 15 hits, and they received a stellar pitching performance from Cole Fawcett. In a game that went 14 innings, Fawcett pitched 10 solid innings, giving up just 8 hits, 1 earned run, and striking out 12. Freshman Ty Anderson also received some innings on the mound. He pitched 3 for the Dinos, as did Mitch Olson. The victory for Carbon came in thrilling fashion, winning in the 14th inning. On top of having a dominating performance on the mound, Fawcett finished with a double and a home run at the plate. Dallin Maurer also went yard for Carbon. Now, the epic victory over Park City was shortly celebrated because the Dinos had to move on and take on Cedar City, the number 4 seed from Region 9, who defeated the host school in Juan Diego. The Dinos trailed for the majority of the game but scored 4 runs over the final 2 innings, including 3 in the 6th, as they grabbed the victory 4-3 to advance to the quarterfinals. In this contest for the Dinos, they were led on the mound by Mitch Olson, who pitched a complete game, giving up 8 hits, surrendering just 1 earned run, and striking out 2. Offensively for the Dinos, again, they were pretty good late in the contest. They accumulated only 5 hits, but they came on at the right time. 5 different individuals recorded 1 hit for Carbon, and Trey Richardson notched the lone RBI. Carbon, now in the quarterfinals, will take on Pineview this Thursday. The start time for this contest is set for 11 a.m. A win would put Carbon in the semifinals against a familiar opponent. They would go up against either Canyonview or Richfield, 2 teams that they share Region 12 with. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on the Carbon Dino baseball team throughout the week. And finally, we move over to softball, where the Carbon Lady Dinos did suffer a loss in the 3A state tournament, but they survived by picking up a win in the one-loss bracket. Starting things off against Stansbury, the number 3 seed from Region 10, the Lady Dinos suffered a heartbreaking 6-3 loss. Kenley Nelson was charged with the loss on the hill. Kelsey Sorensen led the way for the Lady Dinos, finishing with 2 doubles and 1 single at the plate, while Shandell Nichols had 1 double and 1 single. Callie Fawcett also had 2 singles. The defeat sent the Lady Dinos down into the one-loss bracket, where the season was on the line as they went toe-to-toe with Morgan, and the Lady Dinos responded beautifully. McKenna Sorensen pitched a gem as Carbon destroyed Morgan 13-3. Kelsey Sorensen finished with 3 singles. McKenna Sorensen helped her own cause. She also finished with 3 singles and 4 RBIs. Callie Fawcett had 1 double and 1 single. Shandell Nichol had 1 RBI. And Alex Thane had 1 home run and 4 RBIs to lead the Dino offensive surge. The victory puts Carbon in a position to now make their way through the one-loss bracket. They will now play the loser of Grantsville and Cedar City once again in an elimination contest on Thursday. Start time for their game is at 4:15. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you are participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Kelly Jensen and Dr. Scott Justison encourage all you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport or, if you're a passionate fan, you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Jensen or Dr. Justison.
I've been working with this old dude. He has to be in his 50s. He asked me one day why I was walking so funny. I told him that I've always had a bad back, but yesterday I must have pulled something. He stopped me and took me to the office to fill out an injury report. How crazy was that? Then he told me to go see the doctor and ask for a referral to Castleview Physical Therapy. I did what the old dude said. Castleview Physical Therapy helped me so that I don't walk funny. And now I can work without pain. I guess old dudes do rule. And so does Castleview Physical Therapy.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
As we talked about during that last commercial break, we had just an epic, epic weekend of local sports here in the Castle Country area. Unfortunately, the baseball season coming to a close for the Emory Spartan baseball team. They gave it a great run. They gave us a lot to talk about last week. Their season comes to a close with back-to-back losses to North Sevier and Grand. The Carbon Dino baseball team, fantastic showing for those guys in the first two rounds. Cole Fawcett was fantastic. Dallin Maurer was fantastic. The seniors doing a lot of work for the Dinos. You can recap their first two games at CastleCountryRadio.com. But for this particular segment on Drive Time Sports, we're going to talk Carbon Lady Dino softball. Now, the Lady Dinos went toe-to-toe with Stansbury in the opening round. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out for the Lady Dinos. They suffered a 6-3 loss, but they bounced back in a big way, and they knocked off Morgan 13-3. Now they await the loser of Grantsville and Cedar City, and the Lady Dinos will be back on the field Thursday at 4:15 p.m. Joining us right now to talk about the opening weekend and how things went for the Lady Dinos, we have head coach Wade Williams. Coach, as always, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Jordan. It's good to talk to you and appreciate your support of Carbon High Softball.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My pleasure, Coach. Let's start by talking about the 3A state tournament. You guys opened up against a very difficult opponent in Stansbury. Last week when we had you on the show, we talked about Region 10 and how difficult it really was. I mean, we had three teams tied at the top going into the final week. You guys come out on the short end 6-3, but this was a closely contested game throughout.
Yeah, it was a good game. Both teams hit the ball well. Both teams played good defense. Unfortunately, they hit two home runs that put more runs on the board for them than us. So I think that was those two hits were really the difference in the game.
You know, with that being said, Kenley Nelson gets the loss on the hill. I hate that statistic for pitchers because I know it's not indicative of how she pitched through the game. I mean, you talk about the two home runs. Outside of that, she pitched a gem for you guys.
She really did, and actually only one of the home runs was off of her. She pitched well. She's pitched well for us all year long. So, and then McKenna Sorensen come in and pitched well as well. So I'm real happy with our pitchers and what they've done this year.
How did you prepare for Stansbury, Coach? Or is there a way to prepare for a team at this stage in the season? Or is it kind of you know it or you don't? I mean, how do you go into the state tournament preparing?
I think it's more mental than anything. You just got to go prepared to, you know, the girls got to go prepared to give it their all. And I think for the most part, they did that.
You guys definitely had your fair share of hits. As far as getting those hits across the plate seemed to be the problem.
Yeah, correct. know, we do struggle with the small ball a little bit. So that's something, you know, we got a couple more days when you work on it and be ready for Thursday's game.
Well, let's talk about a more positive outing for you guys. Faced with elimination, the girls respond beautifully, and you guys really take it to Morgan, knocking them off 13-3 to advance in the one-loss bracket. So, season on the line, the girls come out, and it looks like they fired on all cylinders.
Yeah, we were a little slow coming out. We scored most of the runs later in the game, but, you know, it's tough coming off that loss. We really wanted that first win, and, you know, it took them a little while to adjust and, you know, decide that we're good enough and we want to win this game. And then, yeah, then it was lights out.
You know, with all that being said, Coach, did you set some urgency later on in the contest? Did you have to remind the girls that, look, if we don't win this game, it's over. The season's over with.
Yeah, it was about the fourth, fifth inning when we had that little talk with them about, hey, you know, let's leave it all on the field. Let's have no regrets. And they responded well, so I was happy about that.
Well, let's talk about McKenna Sorensen. I mean, she's the winning pitcher in this game. She also has 3 singles, 4 RBIs for you guys. It's not a bad outing for an individual.
No, McKenna's pitched well for us most of the year. I think when I look at the stats, she's usually either number one or number two on the whole team for the entire season as far as getting on base. She rarely strikes out, and she always seems to bring her A game.
You know, Coach, looking back at the way the year has gone for you guys, I think it's going to be very difficult for a team to beat Carbon if you guys are scoring anywhere up to 10 runs. I mean, it seems like most of your losses, they've been, you know, 6, 4, 5 runs. I mean, you guys have really played so good defensively. When you guys put up double digits in runs, you're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. And that's kind of been my emphasis. I thought Carbon, we've traditionally been strong on defense. I've tried to take a little different approach this year, a little more emphasis on the offense. And I'm not sure if that's paid off yet, but if you look, we're right where we were last year. So it's kind of bizarre, but it was deja vu all over again down in St. George with the same 4 teams that were down there last year, went down there this year, and the same outcome.
Well, for somebody who's in their first year as head coach of this program, was it a sigh of relief knowing that your season, you extended your season at least another week?
Yeah, it's, I don't know how long it's been since, you know, we've gone to the second round of the state tournament back-to-back. Last year was the first time we'd done it in a while, and then to turn around and do it again, you know, I'm happy. But that just, mainly that's the girls. We have a lot of young girls that, you know, the credit's theirs. They played well.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Wade Williams of the Carbon Lady Dino softball squad. Coach, we'll take a look at what the future holds for you guys. Now you await the loser between Grantsville and Cedar City. So even though you guys do advance past Morgan, I mean, the next game is going to be very difficult for you guys. Those are 2 great teams, and again, one of them from Region 10.
Right. Yeah, between you and I hope we get Cedar. It doesn't matter, though. We'll give it our best shot.
When you look at, do you start to look, Coach, at who you may play beyond your next contest, or do you kind of just stay focused game by game? How does that work for you in the state tournament? I know a lot of coaches, they have a different philosophy in that regard.
I take it one game at a time. I have, you know, the dads keep me informed of every possible scenario, so. One of the dads, he's kind of like my scout, so he keeps me up on all the possibilities.
Well, as far as Region 12 goes, Coach, Canyon View, they're still playing. Of course, Carbon, and then we have Juab. They're the only Region 12 team without a single loss at this stage in the tournament. Any surprises there for you at all?
No. I was very impressed with Juab this year. I expect them to, you know, probably be the one, if not the number 2 team when this is all over. Their pitching is just was phenomenal. We really struggled against them.
Well, I think it definitely speaks volumes to Region 12 as well. I mean, you guys end up tied for second place. You talked about it last week. You said you felt that you were the second best team in the region. You speak highly of Juab, so it's not too bad to finish behind those guys.
Right. And then, you know, when you get to the state tournament, I think you kind of your rivals that you've fought against all year, you actually change, and you want them to do well to prove to the state how good our region is.
And again, we haven't even talked about North San Pete yet. That's another Region 12 team that is still alive at the bottom of the tournament. So, I mean, all in all, there's a great chance that if you guys can handle some business, you may see some familiar foes in the next couple of rounds.
Yeah, well, we're set to where, you know, if we bring our A game, I feel we can still maybe surprise some people, maybe not. But I think we have the possibility to go as deep as Carbon's gone in the state tournament for quite a few years.
It is an interesting situation that you're in now, Coach, because you come back for about 3 days of practice before you guys get back at it on Thursday. What do you do this week? Do you hone it down a little bit? Is it more walkthroughs to make sure that you're healthy going into Thursday? I mean, how do you approach this?
Yeah, we just kind of fine tune. We'll spend a lot of time hitting still, seeing lots of different pitching, lots of at-bats. The pitchers will kind of just take them slow, let the, you know, their arms rest from the weekend and just keep them going so they'll be at 100% come Thursday.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to it, Coach. Again, thank you very much for taking out the time today. Congratulations on the win against Morgan and extending the season, and hopefully we can talk again next week and recap the entire season.
Sounds good, Jordan. I'll look forward to it.
I'm definitely looking forward to it as well, Coach. Thank you. Again, you can get a complete recap of the weekend for both Carbon and Emory. Just visit CastleCountryRadio.com. We've got to pause for just a moment. When we return, we're going to move over, talk some national sports, some NBA basketball. We are set to go as far as the conference finals. Maybe a surprise in the Western Conference. Not a huge surprise, but we get Golden State and Oklahoma City. Eastern Conference, we get Cleveland and Toronto. The Raptors closing out the Heat with a Game 7 victory yesterday. So we get the 1 versus the 2 in the East, the 1 versus the 3 in the West. We'll start breaking that down when we return here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM, Monday edition of Drive Time Sports.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for 2, fouls 1.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
What do you think of in springtime? What about hosting a big family barbecue on the lawn? KSC and A&W has all the hamburgers, hot dogs, and shakes to make your springtime bash a scrumptious success. Pick up some mouth-watering Papa Burgers, a zesty cheesy Coney Dog, and plenty of fries, onion rings, and corn dog nuggets for the family. Want to hit a home run with your kids' baseball team? KSC and A&W is the spot to take the team out for celebratory shakes, root beer floats, and polar swirls. Spring is the time of hamburgers and hot dogs at KFC and A&W.
3, 2, 1. Gentlemen, start your engines.
Putting our attention over to the national sports scene. Yesterday on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM, Matt Kenseth finally had a change of luck as he took home the checkered flag in the AAA 400 Drive for Autism at Dover International Raceway. Kenseth held off Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott, while Casey Kane finished fourth, followed by Kurt Busch in fifth, Brad Keselowski sixth, Denny Hamlin seventh, Ryan Blaney eighth, Martin Truex Jr. ninth, and Trevor Bayne tenth. Following the victory, Kenseth talked about a very competitive race that was very entertaining for the fans.
I think all year they've seen some good finishes, that's for sure. So we had kind of an up-and-down day. A lot of it just depended on track position for us. I felt like we were, at times, we were pretty good. At other times, we were kind of off. Like I said, a lot of it depended on track position. We had one run that was really, really good, and then never quite got it there again. So it was one of those days where everything lined up for us at the end of the race. We were the only one left out there with two, and we got those couple short runs to kind of cycle everybody else's tires and give us a lot of caution laps to get our tires cooled down. So it all worked out for us, kind of the opposite as I feel like it's been going the last couple months. We've had really fast race cars, and we've been in position to win a lot. This wasn't our fastest car by any means this year, but we're able to do the right things and be there at the end of the race and be able to pull it off.
Kenseth continued by talking about the two guys that finished behind him in Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott, two inexperienced drivers, but two that raced very clean.
You know, I wasn't very confident that I was going to be able to hold him off, to be honest with you. We took off, and I felt pretty good about it. The first restart with Jimmy, I got through the gears real good. Then the second one, I got down through one and two, and it was pretty tight off turn two. I was like, hey, we're still going to be tight for a short run. And then the tires cycled again. We took off in that last restart, and I actually spun the tires off at turn two the first lap and then spun them off four the second lap, and it just progressively kept getting looser, and he was all over me, and I could never really make the middle and the top work today. Luckily, Chase caught him, got side by side, and that drug him back a couple seconds and gave me a little bit of breathing room. And then, you know, really watching Carl earlier in the race, I saw some things he was doing to find some grip, and he was definitely freer than me and turning better. So I started trying to find that grip in the middle of the track, and that worked for us to be able to hold him off. I think if he would have snuck outside of me, it was over because we were just so free. So he raced me really, really hard, but really, really clean at the same time. He's a great race car driver. To me, it doesn't even seem right that he hasn't won yet. He's got a bunch of victories in front of him for sure. He's a really, really clean, hard racer and a fast learner.
Rookie Chase Elliott, who was taking over for the legendary Jeff Gordon in the 24 car, had his highest finish of the Sprint Cup season. He talked about his race.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I thought it was hopefully a good day for the fans. I don't know that it gets a whole lot better than that as far as a race to the finish. At one of these places, definitely proud to be a part of it. Unfortunately, couldn't be on the good end of it, but proud of our effort today. We really started not, you know, a good ways out of where we need to be, and I thought we made a lot of really, really solid gains throughout the day to get our car better and better. Had a lot of fun racing with those guys there at the end. Like I say, hate to not get the job done and be so close, but we'll keep digging at it and try to get a little better.
As the standings sit right now, Kyle Busch remains in first place in the Sprint Cup Series standings, followed by Carl Edwards in second, Jimmy Johnson in third, Brad Keselowski fourth, Kevin Harvick fifth, Matt Kenseth sixth, Denny Hamlin seventh, Kurt Busch eighth, Chase Elliott ninth, Joey Logano tenth, Martin Truex Jr. 11th, Austin Dillon 12th, Dale Earnhardt Jr. 13th, Jamie McMurray, Ryan Blaney, and Casey Kane round out the field. Just outside of the playoff picture looking in is A.J. Allmendinger and Ryan Newman. Make sure you stay tuned to Castle Country Radio's KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. Live NASCAR Sprint Cup Series racing will continue on Sunday at Charlotte Speedway. Live action will get rolling on KOAL beginning at 4 p.m.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, I'm Nick Ori. I was born and raised in Carbon County. I grew up on a local farm and know the meaning of hard work. Customer satisfaction is my top priority. Give me a call today at Tony Basso GM, 650-4565.
The best price, a great deal locally every day at Tony Basso GM.
Do you hear that? The birds singing, trees rustling, and the roaring engine of ATVs hitting the trails. Now that this spring fever is here, I'm ready to hit the trails with the family and blaze through the hills and mountains having a blast. Desert View Federal Credit Union has affordable ATV and RV loans with low interest rates, so our spring recreation fund doesn't have to wait. What better way to spend your spring than riding your new ATV, thanks to Desert View's great ATV and RV loans.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Catton and Mellor Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As a trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Steph Curry welcoming you back to Drive Time Sports. He'll be in Game 1 tonight of the Western Conference Finals, taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, we'll talk about Carl Anthony Towns. He has been voted the Rookie of the Year in the NBA, and unanimously. He picked up every single first-place vote, 130 of them, to be exact. And it's no real shock that Carl Anthony Towns dominated throughout the entire year. He put up numbers that we haven't seen from a big since Shaq. He played in every game this season, averaged 18 points, contributed 10 boards, 2 assists, nearly 2 blocks per game in 32 minutes of action. And because of that, the Minnesota Timberwolves increased their win total by 13 games. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, the Minnesota gig was the most sought-after job of the NBA. If you're a coach sitting back looking for a job like a Tom Thibodeau, now Frank Vogel, that was the job you wanted. Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad. You know, you got a couple of bad contracts in Ricky Rubio and Pekovic, but the bottom line is those deals will come off eventually. One more year, they're going to be very movable. It's a stellar gig, and Carl Anthony Towns is going to be the focal point for Minnesota for some years to come. He gets Rookie of the Year. Kristaps Porzingis from the New York Knicks comes in second place, and after that, it just kind of trickled all the way down. Let's talk Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals tonight. Golden State and Oklahoma City. This will get moving at 7 o'clock tonight, Mountain Time. Who isn't looking forward to this game? This is going to be such a great series. In fact, I started crunching the numbers. And seriously, from an offensive efficiency standpoint, it's one of the best matchups we've seen in the NBA since Jordan Pippen went toe-to-toe with Stockton and Malone back in 1997. That's saying something. That's a long time. You have two teams that can just light up the scoreboard. Now, with that being said, let's not forget that these are two pretty good defensive squads. And that's normally my biggest gripe when talking to somebody about Golden State. They're known for their offense, but historically speaking, they're one of the greatest teams that we have ever seen in NBA history because of what they can do defensively as well. The offensive rating, it's number 1 in the NBA. Defensive rating, it's number 4 in the NBA. You don't see that too often. Oklahoma City comes in offensively, number 2. Defensively, number 12. But that's okay because their net rating would put them at number 3. It's a pretty efficient squad. Playoff efficiency rankings, Golden State would be number 1. Oklahoma would be number 3. It's fantastic. I can't wait for this series. You go back and you look at the 3 matchups throughout the regular season between these two squads. It was odd. They played like in a month span. They didn't play each other until February 6th, and then the last meeting was on March 2nd. They only played 3 times this year. The first meeting, Warriors get the win at Oracle, 116-108. OKC falls in this game, despite Kevin Durant scoring 38 points, Enes Kanter grabbing 15 rebounds, and Russell Westbrook handing out 12 assists. Unbelievable, right? Now, Golden State, they had their own individual statistics as well. But I don't see Oklahoma City losing too many games when you're throwing out those types of statistics. 3 weeks later, they play again, this time at OKC, 121-118, overtime win for the Golden State Warriors. You remember this game. Stephen Curry had 46 points, knocked down an incredible buzzer beater. Ibaka has 20 rebounds, but Draymond Green had 14 assists. And then they played at the beginning of March, and again, a very entertaining game, but it falls in favor of Golden State, 121-106. Steph Curry in this game has 33 points. Kevin Durant shows off his ability to distribute the basketball. He finishes with 9 assists. So you talk about those 3 games and how visually pleasing they were for the audience. And then you throw this into the equation. This series is going to feature 5 All-Stars. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. We get 5 All-Stars in one series. On top of that, Durant, Westbrook, and Curry, they're the 3 most recent scoring champions in the NBA. A lot of firepower in this series. And I'm not willing to go ahead and just give Golden State the Western Conference crown. I think this is going to be a long, drawn-out series, and I think Golden State is going to have their hands full. In fact, from an efficiency standpoint, when you take a look at the rankings, it's the most difficult series that Golden State has faced under Steve Kerr. It's not very many series. You got to go back to last year where they won the NBA championship and this year. But it will be, from an efficiency standpoint, the most difficult team that they have faced in a 7-game set. Even though the last series for Golden State only went 5 games, they knew they were in a series. I tip my hat to Portland. They were a game opponent. Game 5, I expected Golden State to come out and just blow Portland out of the water. That did not happen. Portland was game. And that's great for Golden State. That's good. It's one of the things I would worry about if I was a Cleveland Cavalier fan. The fact that Cleveland hasn't really had a bad game of the postseason yet, and now they've been waiting, while Toronto seems to be playing better and better. It's a different story for a different day, but I think that's good for Golden State. And they've had to win without Steph Curry. And that may be the biggest question mark of this entire series. For Golden State, they will win this series if Steph Curry can stay healthy and stay on the floor. I think it's that simple. They're a better team front to back. I like their bench a whole lot more than I like Oklahoma City's bench. Oklahoma City may have two of the top five players in the league on their team right now. Yet still, Steph Curry, when he's right, he's unbelievable. And if he's at least 90% throughout the series, I think Golden State will get the win. Now, for Oklahoma City, I think it's a little bit deeper than that. Because the reason they were successful against San Antonio, three bigs. Serge Ibaka was very good defensively. He didn't necessarily put up the most jaw-dropping numbers offensively, but he was great defensively. He had a couple of games where he had three or four blocks. He disrupted LaMarcus Aldridge down low. He made it very difficult for Tony Parker to penetrate. Serge Ibaka was huge defensively, and that's what he has to do in this series once again. So Serge Ibaka. Enes Kanter was very good in that San Antonio series. Jazz fans, I don't want to harp on this trade, but once again, this is somebody that was given away. The Jazz did everything they could to just move Kanter and rid them of a headache, or maybe somebody that just wasn't really playing nice in the sandbox within the locker room. But he was good. And I'm not the biggest Kanter fan in the world, but he managed to spread the floor. Ibaka's offense wasn't necessarily clicking. Enes Kanter spread the floor, and he opened things up for Steven Adams, who was very good in that series as well. Adams was efficient from the field. Perennial double-double guy throughout the postseason. Those are the three main players for Oklahoma City. Can you keep Kanter, Adams, and Ibaka out of foul trouble, keep them on the court where they can be effective? Because Kevin Durant is going to get his. Russell Westbrook is going to get his. You need the bigs to step up. Because that may be the one flaw I see for Golden State. Now, with all that being said, who's the one guy down low for Golden State that's not afraid to get in somebody's face, not afraid to play some rough basketball down low? It's Andrew Bogut. I think we're prone to see an Andrew Bogut / Steven Adams battle at some point in time in the series. Because Steven Adams loves that kind of basketball. He asks for that kind of basketball. It's going to be a fun matchup there. At the beginning of the postseason, I pegged it Golden State, San Antonio. But I am extremely happy, no offense Spurs fans, I am extremely happy that we get Oklahoma City and Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. Because Billy Donovan has worked his magic in OKC. Speaking of Billy Donovan, I don't want to go off on a tangent here. But I'll tip my hat and give him all of the credit in the world for that San Antonio series victory. Because he found something that was working and he stuck with it. Billy Donovan did not pay any attention to the rotation. The same thing that OKC has been doing time and time and time again. He was not afraid to switch things up in the middle of the series because he found something that was working. And we also realized that Deion Waiters, he can be somewhat productive too when given the chance. So Oklahoma City had a couple of unsung heroes in that San Antonio set, and they're going to need that again. Because we sit here and we talk about OKC and what they bring to the table, and we talk about Steph Curry. Don't forget about Draymond Green. Perennial triple-double guy every time he steps on the floor. Between Draymond Green and Kawhi Leonard, give me the best two-way player in the NBA. It's one of those two. Green's fantastic. And he'll get in your head, which is going to be key in this series because Russell Westbrook, he can get in your head as well. You just flip it back and forth. It's like a volleyball match. There's so many things that are going to be interesting to watch in this set. And as far as OKC goes, you got to win one of the first two games in Oracle. And I'm talking more about OKC because regardless, they are still the underdog in this set. That defensive net rating of 12, that has to improve. And you don't have home court advantage, and you're going up against the two-time NBA champs who have the reigning NBA Finals MVP coming off their pine. Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. Golden State beats Houston and Portland, both in five games to get where they are at. OKC beats Dallas in five and San Antonio in six to get where they are at. Obviously, the more impressive playoff resume right now, you would think on paper. Yet, getting rid of Houston and getting rid of Portland in five without Steph Curry at full strength, that's fairly impressive as well. Can't wait for it. Five All-Stars tonight, the last three scoring champs, Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, Golden State taking on Oklahoma City tonight. We've got to pause for just a moment. We'll come back. We'll put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports, Monday edition, here on 103.9 FM and 750 AM. Back after this.
Castle Country Mornings, Monday through Friday mornings from 7 until 10. News Talk, 103.9 FM, 750 AM, KOAL.
They say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Steak and eggs, French toast, pancakes, or even an omelet. That's reason enough for me to follow this great advice. And my favorite place for breakfast is Big Mo's. I love that they have so many choices and can order something different every time. Plus, at Big Mo's, they serve breakfast all day long, so I can get my breakfast fix any time of the day. I think I'll have the biscuits and gravy for lunch today. Visit Big Mo's on 7th East. Next time you're craving breakfast, you can even call for takeout, 636-0451.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Crab fishing, one of the deadliest jobs in the country. Fishermen go toe-to-toe with Mother Nature using 700-pound steel traps that are dropped 400 feet below the ocean surface to capture this delicacy. But we live in the desert, and there's no crab anywhere.
Until now. It's the brand new Crab Oscar Pizza at Big Don's in Price. This creation is a white sauce-based pizza topped with bacon, onions, asparagus, and crab. Get yours today at Big Don's, located at 170 West 100 North in Price. Call 637-DONS for takeout or delivery.
For over 50 years, News Talk KOAL's Barter Bar has helped listeners buy, sell, and trade from everyday common items to the unusual. You'll hear it on Barter Bar. Holding a yard sale? Looking for furniture? Or want to trade your car? Put it on Barter Bar, online and on air. Barter Bar, a Castle Country tradition. Weekday mornings at 9:30 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. KOAL.
Hi, this is Colonel David Smith, commander of the Air Force Reserve 419 Fighter Wing at Hill Air Force Base in Utah. Military experience can add greatly to your life and provide many adventures. There are many exciting part-time jobs in the Air Force Reserve, which will allow you to advance your civilian career or continue your education while you receive excellent training and other benefits. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or call 800-257-1212.
This message is sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and aired by the Utah Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
We're back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to talk about the Eastern Conference Finals in depth tomorrow. Tonight, again, Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. But speaking of the Eastern Conference, some news that we didn't talk about on the show, the Indiana Pacers have their new head coach, and it's going to be Nate McMillan. This is somewhat shocking. Larry Bird gets rid of Frank Vogel. And I guess when you look at the reasoning, according to Larry Bird, in the press conference today, it doesn't seem as far-fetched as before, but, I mean, you get rid of Frank Vogel, who's had a lot of success as head coach for the Pacers, and I think that team overachieved multiple times under Frank Vogel. I think they were very close. But Larry Bird hires Nate McMillan, hoping that he will change the culture inside the locker room, and they didn't have to look very far to get Vogel's replacement because he sticks to the bench. Now, according to those that I've talked to and some of the other national media outlets that they reported today, the biggest problem that Bird had was the lack of effort that the Pacers were putting out. And I guess I can see that. I mean, if you go back a couple of years and you look at where the Pacers were sitting when they appeared to be hitting their stride, this was a team that took Miami to the brink of elimination. We're talking about the Heat with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, one of the best teams that we have seen in recent memory in the NBA. It's one of them, probably top five of this generation. And the Pacers took them to the brink. After that, there was some major problems inside that locker room. Pacers get rid of Lance Stephenson, and they basically got nothing for Lance Stephenson. Just told him to get lost. Roy Hibbert looked like a different player his final 2 years in Indiana. He went from looking like a guy that was one of the best bigs in the NBA to someone that you traded for a second-round pick, and the Lakers used him as a salary dump this year. So I guess when you take that into consideration, hoping that just a new voice not far from where you play, maybe that is the best option. I don't know. I think that this team has gotten progressively worse, and I look at some of the front office moves that Larry Bird has made with Indiana, and they don't quite make a whole lot of sense. But Nate McMillan, he's the new head coach of the Indiana Pacers. He's got another go-around. But you're going to hear the term retread coach because that's exactly what he is. He's a retread, but you find him off of the bench. Now, according to multiple reports, Pacers really didn't interview anybody else outside of McMillan for this job. So Larry Bird obviously had he's got an idea of what was wrong with this team, and perhaps it was Frank Vogel. I do believe that Frank Vogel's the hottest free agent coach out there right now. You know, we've seen David Yeager get swiped up quickly by the Sacramento Kings. I think it's Vogel's choice of where he wants to go now. Does he want to go to Houston? Does he want to go to New York? He's the best option, hands down. Coaching carousel will continue in the NBA. For Utah Jazz fans, the good thing is you know that you have a Quinn Snyder for the foreseeable future. That's a sigh of relief. All of the coaching changes and the good thing for the Jazz, they're set in stone. They know exactly who's going to be on their bench. Now, tomorrow is the NBA lottery, so we'll also talk about the ramifications of this on the show tomorrow. The Lakers and the Sixers. If you're a fan of either of these two teams, first off, God bless you. Second, tomorrow's a very big night. The Sixers could have anywhere from the number one and the number four pick, or they could end up with like the number four pick, and that's it. The Lakers, on the flip side, they could get the number one pick. A lot of scenarios to play out in the lottery tomorrow. The Jazz have a very slim chance of moving up or moving down in the lottery. Pretty much know where they are going to be picking, but we'll go over the percentages and all that tomorrow. And we'll take a look at previous lotteries. Who's been the teams that has climbed the ladder the highest? Cleveland had a lot of success in the lottery recently, which is a big reason as to why this team has been able to build around the likes of Kyrie Irving and even Kevin Love, because they moved on from the number one overall pick for Kevin Love. So we'll talk more NBA lottery tomorrow. Also, we're going to talk to Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino baseball team. We talked to Coach Wade Williams of the softball squad today. Coach Cincinnatus will join us on the show tomorrow. Be a great show. It's all lined up for you. Same time, 4 to 5 right here on KOAL. We are out of time. Be safe. I'm out.
The criminal justice program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the criminal justice program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Attention men, under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives...